Blog Talk Radio.
We'd like to welcome you to Missing Pages of History. That's right. We are filling in those missing pages. And like always, we are a organization that is dedicated to lifting up the underserved communities and its people. We'd like to address some critical issues today as it relates to the current status and update on election 2016. But before we get into our theme topic today, we'd like to just share a couple messages with you as it relates to Missing Pages history, and we are asking for your support to come and join us and participate with us by remembering that on the 22nd of this month, 22nd of October, we'll be having our third quarterly raffle drawing at WCIM 1450 Richmond, Virginia at 1 p.m. So if you have not received your tickets yet, please contact one of our members. We still also have a continuing process of organizing and selling our caps and T-shirts. We're going to be getting ready for the upcoming spring, and we're doing our T-shirt drive. If you have not contacted anyone to get your T-shirt and cap, please do so by going to our website at www.mphinc or contact our membership. By doing this, you are supporting Missing Pages, and you're allowing us to help develop our programs, activities in which we can use to help develop our community. And last but not least, we are open to membership. We are looking for individuals who are willing to work towards improving our communities by coming forward and share their talents and skills with us so we can be more effective in terms of creating an organization that will serve as a positive tool of moving our people forward. So those are just some of our little updates we wanted to share with you. And like always, this program comes on about a weekly basis every other Saturday at 1 p.m. So we encourage you to please call in. Please check out our website and come and join us. Like always, we'd like to welcome our contributor, historian and analyst, Emmanuel Jordan, to the program. Welcome, Emmanuel.
Thank you.
Emmanuel, like always, one of our segments we do from time to time is called Black Mini Facts. We'd like to maybe give people some information or information they may not be aware of as it relates to the history of our people and our communities. What kind of mini facts you would like to share with our people today to inspire our people to a high level of productivity?
Well, to be short and brief, I'm going to give them a little mini facts on bloodline and blood phobias. We don't really know, most of us don't know, exactly how the bloodlines existed and the blood phobias until the expulsion in 1492. Centuries of occupations of Spain and Portugal by the Arabs and the Moors resulted in a large number of mulattoes who were absorbed into the European bloodline. Well, that sort of stretches out a little bit. In 1924, the state of Virginia enacted miscegenation laws defining a white person as one with no trace of any blood other than Caucasian or with 1/16 or less of Indian blood. Understand what I just said, 1/16. That's the number we're looking at, 1/16. And this is 1924. This is legislated, basically. 1/16 then you are basically black. That's what it's saying to you. 1/16 or less. They said Indian blood. What type of blood is Indian blood? I have no idea. But as mixed generation, at least 75% to 90% of all people defined as American blacks have some white ancestry. Not white blood. They know such animals, white blood. But a white ancestry. So 75 to 90% what we call African Americans, but defined as American blacks, with the word black being decapitalized, not capitalized. African, of course, American should be capitalized. But your ethnicity, again, started back in 1492 when they started, basically, the race thing. But again, into 1924, the state of Virginia enacted laws defining a white person as one with no trace of any blood other than Caucasian or the lesser 1/16 or less. So we wouldn't talk too much about black blood, I want to call it that, or call it Indian blood, African-American blood, no such animal. So I want to get that to everybody exactly. So it was enacted upon legislative that how you, the word black, how it came as such. Before then, you were called property of slave owners. You were basically not African American, but called Negroes per se, which is the word Moors back in Spain, of course. Because Negro was a Spanish term. Negro is Spanish. But like again, we got called everything. But that is a little bit on bloodlines. I'll get more involved in that as we do our radio shows. We're going to talk about bloodlines and blood phobias. That's your main fact for today.
We thank you, Emmanuel, for your many facts. And now let's go to the thesis topic for today, which is we're going to take a look at, Black for you, take a look at election 2016. Currently, what's going on, you know, how you make out what this particular election seems like a real interesting election, a screen election, in terms of some things happening that may have never happened before. But before we talk about the Pacific, Emmanuel, I'd just like to give you a general take on the current status of how you view or see election 2016.
Well, right now, like I say before, we're not dealing with issues too much that concern the American people, this government. We're on the right track. We're not on the wrong track. And what people keep saying that we're on the right track. Of course, the people on the right is definitely going to say that because the Tea Party didn't get their way or the conservatives didn't get their way. Or you might say the racists didn't get their way. So, again, when equal brings on debate, we've been so used to unequality that equal brings on huge debates. Well, the first thing that the Caucasian says, the European Caucasian, what are we trying to get equal? Well, we're trying to get the economy where we need to be with everybody doing this together. So not having disparities. And at the moment, there's a lot of disparities. This is a whole new world because of social media. The whole world, the whole global concepts are totally different. The media makes things a lot different because it sells. Good news don't sell too often. Bad news. Good news is only for the people that you might say are highly disciplined with emotions. emotions plays a huge part of the voting process. It's your emotions and also what you hear and how you interpret what you hear and who is talking. We have a two-party system, been here for a long time. And again, one party stands for conservatism, which is based on racism, and the other party stands for democracy. Again, you have to basically bring down one party to a certain extent and persuade people's thoughts and persuade their emotions. And the ones you get most of the time are people who wear the emotions on their sleeves. Easy persuaded. And you try to persuade the ones that still believe in Jim Crow or the new Jim Crow, segregationists, that's who they are, discriminate. They work very hard at this. That's the hardest work they ever done, working against this type of anomalies. So this process we have going now, this is totally something different. I've never seen anything of this magnitude. Never. I read about it in the history books about Harry Truman, Herbert Hoover. I read about Eisenhower, a little bit about Ronald Reagan, a little bit of that. But again, where are the Kennedys, where are the Roosevelts? Where do people have common sense? But devaluing human beings and won't change that value that they have put on them, basically, and targeting one group because you're no longer slaves. You are no longer three-quarters of a human being as they describe you. You're no longer part of the Dred Scott decision. So all these decisions here they've made in the past, they're not worried about changing those. They want a court that will basically set you back. This is what they want. We're only 12% of the population. But again, we're the profit margin of America. We are the profit margin of America. If we don't spend, they don't make any money. They move their stores into our communities to take the money from us. Make sure they supply all our needs. Make sure you don't have anything. This is the key of keeping you where they need to keep you at, not slavery. This is just an adjustment to slavery. This is all what this is. They're going to keep you where you are regardless. They're going to teach each generation because they're not going to tell you the missing pages of history like I'm going to tell you exactly how they got what they got. And they mean to keep it because they're going to be in the minority by 2050. Well, we got to make sure we keep in control the power. Why do you keep power? You keep power through racism, or you keep it through conservatism. That's what they're doing. They're going to control the natural resources. They're going to control the wealth. They're going to control the health system. Well, that's where the money is. The money is in these three I just called you. So we got to understand that. You're not going to tear this down. They're going to keep poverty where it is. They're going to make sure that happens. But that's one of the lifelines, one of the revenues of capitalism is poverty. You have to have that. Another line of poverty you have to have, they will make sure you stay in that particular generation, again, is shelter. See, so shelter and make sure that food stay in play. So shelter, food, and clothing, the three things the Bible mentioned of, that makes you what you are. This is the economy growth. Are these three things. And again, technology make this happen because they can trace you anything that you do. They trace your assets. They can trace your behavior now. They can almost trace your emotions. Because through Facebook and all the other Instagrams, the Twitters, they can basically trace you because you tell them. You tell them. So again, polls tell us all of this. So, again, they go into a community to take certain polls, certain people that got you in certain zip codes where you need to be. So, again, when I said shelter, they control that zip code, to control your housing, where you live, basically. So, again, this election here is going to make sure you got one person, make sure they control this, the major three. make sure they control the health, the wealth, and the natural resources. So there's no other way. And make sure they control the justice system. So that's another avenue of revenue. Prison crime pays. I'll explain to one of those in my radio shows how crime pays. Crime is a big employer, one of the largest employers of the top five in this country is crime. How much money get from the federal government and state government for crime? So again, this election here is totally something different. Dealing with, I call outer issues. Email is, for me, is an outer issue. Dealing with things that don't even concern. They don't have the economy at all. Emails don't. This is not the thing. And again, we, you know, what they're talking about basically, especially Donald Trump. He's talking other than he don't know the issues. He doesn't know them. So I never seen a candidate that don't know the issues. He cannot be specific on any issues. And we're dealing with a guy that basically is a failure as a businessman. He filed bankruptcy 6 times. Show me your success. When you file for a university, Trump University, and that's a fraud. You taking money. Again, that's a fraud. His resume is all about fraud. He don't file taxes. He filed taxes, but again, he don't pay no taxes. So his taxes, it's a bunch of fraud, a bunch of lies. He's an embezzler. He's a very, very failed investor. He gets other people's money, files bankruptcy, and he keeps their money. So they don't want to lose money. So he's not losing that much money, but like I said, he's not rich as he thinks he is. He's not worth $10 billion. I think he's worth close to $3 billion. Most everything he owns is going to bunk.
Emmanuel, let me stop you for a second. I'd like for you to share your perspective, since you mentioned this is a two-party system and they both function in capitalism. Let me get your perspective on two allegations that Donald Trump has levied, not so much against Hillary Clinton per se, but also the party in general. He stated that, one, she should be in jail based upon her past performance, the email. And two, he made a call out to the African or the black community that for the last 30, 40 years, they have never done anything for the black people. Give them a chance. How would you respond to those two concerns that he levied against Hillary Clinton and the Democratic Party?
Hillary Clinton was not in a position to do a lot for black people. It's the country. It's the Congress. That's who do what they need to do. Civil rights, people marching, that's what it's all about. So you can't pin put on one person. See, that's crazy there from Jump Street. It's hard to do anything for black people. We came here slaves. The only one came in shackles. He said they took the shackles off of him. He never been in shackles. We the one got the shackles, still got shackles on us. So a lot, Congress allowed certain things to certain people, to certain zip codes, through Congress people, through representatives. Who is your representative? Those are the ones that got to do things for you. He's never been president or anybody. How much a president can do? This is a triple system with three branches of government. Everything has to go through Congress. Who controls the Congress? Helps the people. Because budgets are done in the House. They're not even done in the Senate. They're done in the House. Who controls the House? We don't know government. Who controls the budget and the money? Who controls all that? She can't do anything. But for 40 years, you go back 40 years, I can go back 40 years. We made a lot of progress in 40 years. I don't want to enumerate those things, but 1965, civil rights bill was passed. You can go to a hotel now all of a sudden. Couldn't eat at restaurants, all this kind of food segregation, all this stuff. So there's a lot. John Kennedy did all he could do. John did all he could do. He signed bills that kept knocking bills down in Congress, Supreme Court, knocking bills down. So to say and make a statement like that, that's how stupid he is on the specifics of race, how he stupid is on black people to make that tone of statement. You couldn't get a loan for a house one time. Remember the time you couldn't even buy an automobile. So, yes, but calling her out, she's just one person among 312 million. They called her out. What you going to do? Came up so much she can do. President Obama signed a bill for black university colleges, $198 million. One department gets that at most black, at white universities. One department gets that kind of money. This is for all 70 black schools, 70 some odd schools. $198 million. The Republican Congress raised hell when he did it. Executive order didn't lock. See, we got to know this stuff. Stuff we don't know. You do all you can do. You can't do it so much. They don't like executive power. As long as they can use them for them, but not for you. You got states on welfare, whole states getting something, they call it subsidizing. But when black folk involved, it's called welfare. See? We just don't know what's going on. We get $700 per month average Social Security, black folk. White folk get $1,400 per month. Why? Because they had better jobs, paid more, and everything else. So how do you do something with that? See, when that disparity, we have to do a segment on disparities. We get an average of $197 for food stamps. Whites get almost $300. That's almost double as much. But percentage-wise, you're getting the most. Percentage-wise, okay? You're getting some type of assistance. But who benefits from the assistance? Food stamps, where'd go to? Grocery stores? Who own the grocery stores? And they get an extra compensation for taking food stamps. They don't tell you about that. See, these are the kind of things. See, you got the military, over a million soldiers on food stamps. They don't tell you that. You got police officers, firemen on food stamps in New York, Chicago, Detroit, and things. They're on food stamps. They don't tell you that. They get vouchers for heat, this, that, for rent, everything. They don't tell you that. And who does these departments consist of? Who are they? See? Well, you won't get more because you basically depriving the PFC and the corporate and the military. Well, they're making money. Most of them are officers, you know, whatever, 89% of, you know, the military are white officers, basically. 89%. You're just 11%. So you ain't making no money. You're not getting promoted. Went over 80%, with 87% of the generals of basic Caucasian. Please. And they make it based around their 19th or 20th year, where you can't make it after 30 years. It's about the disparity. So when people make these kind of statements, they don't qualify these statements. Well, that's on that's on Hillary. So Hillary can't do anything. She'll do all she can together. Which together mean with the Congress, too. But you got a Congress and Senate controlled by Republicans who want to keep the status quo. Their conservatism is just underground. You know, they were racist. And to make it better, to get another word on opposed to the word racist or racism, they came with conservatism. Same ism means status quo. Same thing.
Speaking on disparity, as you look at this election 2016, and recently there was a financial report came out for the end of July as relates to both campaigns. It stated that there has been over $1.2 billion spent on this election. Many people feel like there's too much money. Corporate America is controlling the politicians. What can the people do as relates to counterbalance the nature of the big money versus the interests and desires that the everyday man and woman may have in terms of trying to get policies and decisions that be more favorable to their likings? what would you say to them?
Well, mainly they got the distinct, you know, whether they're afraid of your lackings and whether you want to do better. Corporations, they're big fundraiser. They're called PACs. And what happens here is that they give a lot of money, but the money's coming through the people in the corporation. Now, you can't write a check by just $2,500. That's the best you can do. Well, the donors, like up under Barack Obama, I ran a lot of ground attacks myself. And like back in the day, I did 25 cents, 50 cents, I did a dollar. And I raised $4 million by going knocking on each door, getting 50 cents, 25 cents, trying to get the person they feel would best serve their community. But again, community is served by city council people on a local level. So we have to change the local level. You're not going to do much on the national level because you got Congress sitting there, two senators and so many reps from each state, and you got these demographics. So they're not going to be the same. You got the uneducated whites who are backing Donald Trump, basically. Well, that's not corporate money. That's $50, $100 given here and there, having fish fries, dinners, all the crazy stuff that they do. Then you got the educated whites. You got the students, educated blacks. You got not so much educated blacks, again, you're dealing with that. They're looking for, you know, what they've always been looking for. We're always looking for a hand up. We don't look for a hand out. We look for hand ups. All we want to do is be employed and get paid. We worked 275 years and didn't get paid. 275 years we worked and didn't get a dime. So when someone is sit there and call me lazy, I'm not gonna take that too easy. I know who's lazy, and they know who's lazy. They know, but we're afraid to say it. Europeans came the laziest folk in the world, always have been. We're slaves because the Indians said, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to be a slave to you. That's when they went and picked us up. They corralled us and brought us here in shackles. So we look at that from a historical point of view. We don't look at it that way. We have a diluted culture, which means it's borrowed. We came with no shoes on, done with shackles, packed like sardines. And look at us now. We're more educated than ever before. We own homes, we own automobiles, we own businesses. Not that fruitful, but we're still here as a people, what we've been through. And what I found is it's going to get better. But again, contributions are very, very small. But when you got basically 140, 150 million people contributing, a dollar, $2, $10, people contribute through their taxes too. You can contribute, I think, up to $2, whatever it is on the tax form. So this is how it's done. But like I said, the corporations are not controlling anything. They don't have a one vote, that person to cooperate with, the CEO or CFO. They got one vote, that's all they got.
Amen.
So that can't happen the way people think it happened. Like I said, it's too broad. You can't paint it with a broad brush.
Okay, we have less than 1 minute left. Give Ellis and Audio something you really want to remember about this election. You got to do it in less than 1 minute. Your final thought on this election so far.
My final thing is to vote and be sure to vote in the local election. This is where everything happens. Your judges, but the prison system. But what's going on there, if you look at some of the posters, it don't have R or D on the poster. So they want you to vote blind. That's how they got control of the Congress, because they will be voted blind. Who are you voting for? They had put on the House of Delegates, put their name on there. Who are you? Ask at the polls, who are you? Are you a Republican or are you a Democrat? Which one are you? See, don't go online and find out who they are. This is another slick election, very slick. And like I say, Donald Trump is like what he's doing now, saying everything is basically, you know, is rigged. Well, because he's losing. He's losing, so he's going to make sure that he's going to say things that will put doubt in the people after the election. So it's going to be hell after the election. It's going to be hell.
All right, you don't know, Emmanuel, we're going to have to stop you. Will that be business as usual? And to our listening audience, you've been listening to Missing Pages of History. We come on back weekly basis. We'll be on next week. We tell you, please tune in next week, next Saturday at 1 p.m. as we continue towards filling in our missing pages of history. Again, please check out our website at www.mphinc.org to learn more about our organization. And we look forward to seeing you next Saturday at 1 p.m. This has been Missing Pages of History. We thank you for allowing us to come into your home.